The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 6th, 2010, in Rosebel, Mauritius.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka.
Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka.
Punarabhati Narjana.
Punarabhati Narjana.
Mam Upecha Tukonjaya.
Mam Upecha Tukonjaya.
Punarjanmanavidyate.
Punarjanmanavidyate.
Abrahma Bhuvana Loka.
Abrahma Bhuvana Loka.
Punararvartinarjana.
Punararvartinarjana.
Mam upecha tukonteya.
Mam upecha tukonteya.
Punarjanmanavidyate.
Punarjanmanavidyate.
Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Purport. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional service in bhakti, yoga, or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka, and Indraloka fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandra-Yogya Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Baladeva Vidyabhushana, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse: Brahmana sahatai sarve samprapte pratisanchare parashyante kritatmana pravishante parantanam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. Vandeham Shri Guru. Shri Jada Bhagavatamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha So it is Hila Shama Yiva Kevalam. It is futile, it is useless to try to find happiness in this material world. If even Brahmaji's planet is miserable, it is inconceivably thousands of times more pleasurable than the most pleasurable places on this earth planet. But even if that planet of Brahmaji is a miserable place, then you can just imagine what is the happiness of the spiritual sky. Even the happiness of impersonal liberation is considered far superior to the happiness of this material existence. And that happiness of impersonal liberation is described in the Bhagavatam Nirvana, Nirvana Vilambitani. You see that impersonal liberation, it is called Nirvana. So, to go back to the spiritual world, the Parabrahma, that happiness completely nullifies the happiness of impersonal liberation, which completely nullifies the happiness of material existence. And then, even higher still, the happiness of Goloka Vrindavan nullifies even the happiness of the Vaikuntha world. So you can just imagine how happy it must be in Goloka Vrindavan planet. Therefore, Krishna consciousness. We are teaching the science of Krishna consciousness. Of course, if someone is more attached to another form of Vishnu, we don't object. One man just wrote me, he says, I just cannot fix on Krishna. I am simply fixed on the Sringadeva, the Supreme Lord. That's all right. If he wants to do that, that's his choice. But the full development of taste is there in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we are focusing on Krishna. Even though we worship Lord Sringadeva also, but here in the Singha, Hridaya in the Singha, we also worship Lord Nishringadeva. But still, we are especially interested in Krishna consciousness. Lord Nishringadeva doesn't play the flute. He roars like a lion. He doesn't play the flute. There's nothing, even though Lord Nrisimhadeva's roar is certainly all attractive, the sound of Krishna's flute is even more attractive than Nrisimhadeva's roar. Of course, that Nrisimhadeva's roar is very good for scaring away the demons. It's very powerful. When there is danger, if we call the name of Nrisimhadeva, there is great presence. That happened one time to us in Miami Temple. We had an armed robbery at the temple one evening. We were all sitting in the Prasadam room taking hot milk. And we had an armed robbery. They came in with weapons to rob the temple. They had one Brahmacharini and they had a gun at her head and a hand on her mouth. And she was coming. She was squealing in fear, like a little mouse. And they brought her into the Vishadam room and told everybody to get on the floor. But I thought, I don't think I should get on the floor. And Nrisimhadeva will protect us. So instead of getting on the floor, I just yelled out, Nrisimhadeva! The thieves were a little shocked, you see. They didn't expect that somebody would chant someone, sit there and defy their orders and chant some unusual sound they never heard before. They were a little bewildered by them. And just when they were standing there in a bewildered condition, well, they pointed the gun at me, actually, instead of the Brahmacharini. They pointed at me. And just at that minute, the temple president came walking in. It so happened the temple treasury was just next door to the Prasadam. The temple president came out of the treasury and he looked at this armed bandit who had all the devotees down on the floor. He was a little shocked to see an armed robbery was going on in the temple. But he's a very cool-headed temple president. His name was Abhiram Prabhu. My godbrother Abhiram. So he turned around and walked back into the treasury. And the gunman followed him and actually hit him on the head and drew some blood from his head. It didn't knock him cold, it cut him. But Abhiram was very intelligent. The temple treasurer was sitting there at the desk with a gun in the drawer, a loaded gun. So Abhiram Prabhu, he out loud said to the temple treasurer, he said, "Get the gun and shoot the bastard." And I could hear all the way across the room. He very loudly and clearly said, "Get the gun and shoot the bastard." As soon as the thieves heard that, they were running scared like rabbits. They were prepared for a gun battle at the Hare Krishna temple. They went running out the door. And those days, whatever the temple president said was law. So the treasurer, he grabbed the gun, he came running, pow! And when the bullet went into the wall, it missed the thief. They never came back again. I think that was their last attempt to rob the Hare Krishna temple. But I saw the great potency. You know, it seemed like a hopeless situation. These thieves would come, they have all the devotees down, they had two weapons. They had one gun, a handgun, they had a rifle. It was pretty heavy, you know. Armed robbery. It looked like a hopeless situation, but as soon as I yelled out, "Nrisimhadeva!" then the whole problem was finished. And they were running scared out the door. It was wonderful. So, we don't ever minimize the great power of Lord Nrisimhadeva to protect Krishna's devotees. And we see, actually, he is Krishna's manifestation. He is Krishna's loving manifestation to protect the devotees. But when it comes down to rasa, we are especially attracted to Krishna, the transcendental flute player, who every morning stuns all the Vrijavasis by the sound of his flute. Because that happiness created when Krishna blows his flute, there's nothing like it anywhere, you see. I was discussing, we had a class this morning over in Phoenix, about what the experience when Krishna blows his flute. That the influence that the sound of this flute has on everyone is unparalleled in this world. I mean, in this world, there's some popular musicians. You know, people really like their music, like Michael Jackson or the Beatles. People really enjoy more of their music. Yeah, but do we see the animals getting excited about their music? You ever see a cow stunned by the Beatles or Michael Jackson? The cow hears the music and goes into ecstasy. No. You see, Krishna's music is more powerful, more beautiful, more enlivening, more thrilling, more stimulating, more endearing to the heart than any music that has ever been produced by anyone else that ever will ever produce. Because he's the supreme musician, the supreme superstar. You see, Krishna. When he blows that flute, everything stops, you see. Everything stops. All the Brijavasis just go into completely into ecstasy when they hear that flute. It's so powerful. One gopi warned her girlfriend. You know that she warned her girlfriend. If you have any attachment to society, friendship, and love in this world, then do not go down to the bank of the Jamuna tonight, where there's this little blue cowherd boy playing the fifth note on his flute. He's wearing a yellow dhoti, a peacock feather in the hair, and he's standing there in the bushes on the bank of the river Jamuna. If you want to remain attached to your husband and your kids and your aunts and your uncles and all that kind of stuff, whatever you do, don't you dare go down there to the bank of the Jamuna tonight. So you can imagine what that gopi did when she heard all that. She went immediately down there. See, who is this cowherd boy playing the flute down there tonight on the bank of the Jamuna? Let me check this out, you see. So the gopi warned her, don't go, don't go, don't go, you see. So we can warn people. If you want to continue, you know, remaining entangled in birth, death, old age, and disease, and did not chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Because if you chant these names, your whole life will change. You will lose interest in sense gratification. You will simply want to please God. That will be, you will become mad after God. You'll have no desire to please God. This Hare Krishna is very powerful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If you chant it once, what will happen? If you say it once, you will again want to chant. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
If you chant it a second time, what will happen? You want to chant it again. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And each time you chant, what will happen? You'll become more greedy for the holy names. Now show me any kind of prasadam, you know. Maybe if you can have two or three plates of prasadam, and then you say, it may be, you know, if you're really young and you have a powerful appetite, two or three plates of prasadam, and then they bring you the fourth or fifth plate, you say, oh no. But this meal, you see, Krishna's name is the ultimate meal. You can eat this name into your heart. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And your appetite will go on increasing, increasing, increasing. You'll never get tired of it. You'll want more and more and more and more and more of this mountain of rust. There's nothing like it. It's a supreme taste. You won't find any taste that competes with it. All the way from Brahmaloka down to Matalaloka, all the way from London down to Port Louis, you will not find any place in this material world, even in Las Vegas, and you won't find anywhere in the world that there's a taste like this. You can pay millions of dollars to go to the most supposedly wonderful resort here in this material world to enjoy your senses in a high-class hotel or whatever it may be, and it's just poison compared to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Even if Hare Krishna was poison, we'd still drink it because it's so intoxicating. Even if this was poison, we would continue chanting. Because there's nothing more enchanting than this chanting of
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What do we do in the morning?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What do we do at noon?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What do you do in the evening? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And then what do you do in your sleep?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And what will you do at the time of death?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Where will you wake up?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
You wake up in Goloka Vrindavan, there'll be a big kirtan, the Vrijavasis, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, Radharani, and the gopis will all be chanting.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So why the whole world isn't chanting?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Anybody that doesn't chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
must be completely nuts. Anybody who doesn't chant must be an insane person. That's all I can say. Really stupid. I mean, this is more valuable than all the dollars and the euros and the pounds and the rupees and the whole world multiplied by billions and billions of times. One utterance of Krishna is more valuable than the treasury of Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. So would you like to be rich?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Would you like to be famous?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Would you like to be beautiful?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The more you chant Hare Krishna, the more your soul becomes beautiful. With each mutterance of this mantra, your soul becomes more beautiful, more beautiful, more beautiful. That's a fact. You become beautified. It's like somebody puts on jewelry, you see. The devotee decorates himself with the holy names. Because the more you chant, you become more beautified, more beautified, more beautified by the holy names. You become more renounced. You become more knowledgeable. You become all good qualities are there, you see, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So all we really want you to do, my dear ladies and gentlemen, all we really want you to do is be happy, that's all. Some people think this is some kind of a weird religious practice, but no, this is not a religious practice. It's not a sectarian religion. Krishna says, give up all religion, just surrender to me, you see. We are simply connecting ourselves with that Supreme Person as the source of all existence. This is not another one of the religions of the world. You see, this is not a set of dogmas and rituals to make you think you're holier than the people in the other religions. No. This is a scientific process of reconnecting yourself with that person who is the source of all existence. And when you become reconnected to that person who's the source of all existence, there's nothing like it. It's the difference between night and day, between life and death. When you connect with Krishna, you realize for millions of lifetimes, I was simply wandering like a vagabond, foolishly chasing the will of the wisp of this material sense gratification. You understand my point? You realize what an idiot you were, running after television, running after this thing, running after that thing, you see, running after sex pleasure, running after money pleasure, running after power pleasure, prestige pleasure. But I was simply an idiot. all I was really looking for in all times, all places and situations was that beautiful cowherd boy, Shyam Sundar Govinda. That's all I was really looking for the whole time, was to reconnect with my beloved Lord Krishna. So we're asking you all to kindly make this process perfect. You see. Now you've taken up this pathway of Krishna Bhakti. Now you make it perfect, you see. You go through all the stages, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Vajana Kriya, Anarjana Vritti, in this way, Anishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem. Take this process according to the Acharyas. Don't concoct your own version of Sahaja Krishna consciousness. Take the authorized system coming from the Acharyas and practice it sincerely. Mahajana Yena Gatastapanta. And the result will be, you will see Krishna face to face. You will come in direct contact with God and experience God at every minute, wherever you go, in all times, places, and situations. Yamam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tashaham na pranashyami satchame na pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number. Where is the Bhakti Shastri? Any Bhakti Shastris here? Text number 30. Everyone should become Bhakti Shastra. You know your Shastra. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So just imagine if you saw Krishna everywhere and saw everything in Krishna. When you went to work on Monday morning, you saw your company as the energy of Krishna. Just imagine wherever you went. Are you paying attention or are you going on another sidetrack over there? Please pay attention. I've come all the way from America in great trouble and expense, so you will listen seriously to this message. You can joke around later on, it's okay, but now is the time for serious hearing. Serious hearing. Because if you tune in to this transcendental subject matter of Krishna consciousness, you become liberated from this material existence. This is pretty heavy stuff here. You'll become actually liberated from material existence. You'll transcend your body, you'll transcend your mind, you'll transcend your intelligence, you'll transcend your false ego. You'll come in direct contact with God Himself, the source of all existence, you see. So we're asking everyone, when we are giving the class, you fully absorb your consciousness. The other things you can do later on, little children should also sit near. Everyone should be fully absorbed in hearing. Because by this absorption, you become purified. And by this purification, you'll experience happiness that you never even knew existed before, you see. A higher level of happiness beyond anything you even dreamed was possible in your wildest imagination. That is called Krishna consciousness. So kindly take this message very seriously. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And your life will be absolutely sublime. It will be wonderfully simple and simply wonderful. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
While traveling by bus, can we chat within? Mm-hmm. Can we chat inside that is not loudly like this?
Can we chant inside it if it's not out loud?
Mm-hmm. While we are outside and at work.
Can we chant silently within our heart? Well, you can't do your 16 rounds that way, but because Prabhupada described those 16 rounds have to be uttered and heard. They have to be audibly vibrated so that you can hear them. But besides the 16 rounds, Prabhupada said that whatever we do, if it's glorifying Krishna, it is kirtan, whether I'm reading, whether I'm writing. He said even taking prasadam is kirtan. He said everything we do in Krishna's service is kirtan except for sleeping. He said that is waste. Of course we have to sleep, but the idea is take the rest you need and don't go beyond that. We recommend everyone should get up early in the morning before sunrise. Don't let the sunrise catch you sleeping. get up before the sunrise and utter the holy names of God before sunrise, and you'll be amazed. You see, that's called Brahma Muhurta hour. If we sleep in every day past the sunrise, we miss the most powerful time of the day for chanting the Lord's name. So take advantage of the early morning hours, rise early before the sunrise, absorb yourself deeply in chanting the Maha Mantra, and then you'll be able to remain in a meditative state all day long, either chanting out loud or chanting within your head. But that 16 rounds must be audible, it must be vibrated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And within your heart, after you finish your 16 rounds audibly, then you can think of Krishna, think of the Maha Mantra all day within your heart, you see, and connect everything with Krishna within your heart. So that 16 rounds audible is required. Cannot chant silently your 16 rounds, it's not possible. You won't get the necessary connection. If I say, okay, now from now on, you're allowed to eat, but you can't put it in your mouth. You can eat within your mind. I'll lay the food in front of you, you can meditate on it, you can't put it in your mouth. Do you agree? Would you agree to from now on to just eat within your heart and not put it in your mouth anymore? Huh? Impossible?
You can still do it.
So just as you require, you're behind the altar there, didn't you?
No, it's okay.
I don't know what they're saying.
They're probably saying it's okay.
It's okay, all right. Yeah, no problem.
You haven't got in there.
Okay, good. The authority said it's okay, so it's okay, good. So, the point is, can I chant silently or do I have to chant out loud? So I'd ask you, what if I tell you from now on you can take the shavana, but only within your mind, you can't actually put it in your mouth. Would you agree? Who would agree that they can have the plate in front of them and think of it, but they can't actually put it in the mouth, you see? So how would you get nourished, you see? So just as we require it with the Vishadam in the mouth, we also require it with the Maha Mantra in the mouth. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So that's a very good question. Any other questions?
Which language are we going to use in Goloka Abhinavana?
Now you help me, I'm a little deaf.
Which language to be used?
In the Goloka.
Which language for chanting Hare Krishna?
No, in the Goloka, which language we...
Huh?
I mean, in the Goloka planet, which language do we use?
Oh, in Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, this Sanskrit is the language of the spiritual one. Sanskrit. That means when you go there, they'll be speaking in Sanskrit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So you'll feel right. If you study these books in Sanskrit, you learn some Sanskrit slokas, you'll feel right at home in Goloka Vrindavan. Sanskrit loka. This is the language of Krishna, the Sanskrit language. You see, he spoke in Sanskrit. So this is the actual language, the actual words that Krishna spoke to Arjuna. So if you learn these verses in Sanskrit, you'll feel very much at home. So they speak my language here. Sanskrit. Any other question? Everyone satisfied now? Are you ready to take bhakti seriously? You just still want to goof around for a while and not take it seriously, huh? What is it? You want to take it seriously? You just want to play around? What is your decision? Want to take bhakti seriously? You want to pray around for a few more years? What is your decision? Tell me. You want to play around or you want to take it seriously? Huh? Seriously? I want to play around for a few more years. What is it? Which one? Very good. Very good. This boy wants to take it seriously. I'm proud of him. This is really good. Actually, this is, everyone likes to play, but actually there's nothing more wonderful play than becoming serious about bhakti, because you get to play with Krishna then.
Yes.
We like to play around, especially in youth. You see, youth, we like to play around, isn't it? As young people, we like to play around. But if you become serious about bhakti, you can play with Krishna 24 hours a day. Then you really know what playing really means. See? You can play with Krishna 24 hours a day if you become serious about bhakti. So you don't miss out on any of the pleasure of youth. If you take Krishna consciousness seriously, well, that's for the older people. I want to have a good time. I'm a kid, you know. I'm a youth. I'm a kid. I want to have a good time now. No. If you take Krishna consciousness seriously, you will have eternal youth. That's it. You'll be an eternal youth. You'll never go old. Prabhupada, there was no one who was having a better time than Prabhupada, I guarantee you. He was having a better time than anybody. He was really enjoying life like anything. You could see Prabhupada, you'd be amazed. How happy he was, how joyful, how much bliss he was taking. You should see the way he could smash those atheists, you know. Like a cat playing with a little mouse, you know, you could just smash them like anything. So, if you want to play around and have fun, and become Krishna conscious, you'll be playing around and having fun at every minute. You become very serious about Krishna consciousness, you'll have the most fun, the most pleasure you could ever have, more than any other kid, I guarantee you. You'll be playing 24 hours a day with Krishna. So if you want to have fun, the fun of youth, become Krishna conscious and you never grow old, you never become an old, withered senior citizen, you'll always be youth. It's like, even though I'm a senior citizen now, I still feel like I'm a 22-year-old kid who joined the Hare Krishna to save the world. People are amazed. You're a senior citizen? They say, you don't look like a senior citizen. I still feel like I'm a 22-year-old kid who joined the Hare Krishna to save the world back in 1971. Is it? Almost 40 years ago now. So if you take Krishna consciousness very seriously, there's nothing more ecstatic, nothing more daring, nothing more exciting, nothing more thrilling, nothing more uplifting, nothing more invigorating, nothing more challenging, nothing more adventurous. Is it? I mean, do you want to enjoy life? Become Krishna conscious and enjoy unlimitedly. You see? Whether you have money, you don't have money. Either way, see, the material world, if they don't have money, they're in anxiety. They don't have money. If they do have money, they're in anxiety of losing money. Everybody's in anxiety in the material world. Those who have the material goods are in anxiety. Those who don't have the material goods are in anxiety. But a devotee can be happy in any condition. If he's a poor man, he'd think, oh, that's all right. I have Krishna. I have the Supreme Wealth. I have everything because I have Krishna. And if he has wealth, he thinks, oh, Krishna has given me all this happiness to use in his service. He's made me, it's like my godbrother Ambarish. You all have heard of Ambarish, Prabhu. He's the great-grandson of Henry Ford of Ford Motor Company. He's a multi-millionaire. And he's a devotee. He's a wonderful, humble devotee. If you meet him, you just think he's a sweet, humble devotee. He's a multi-millionaire, famous, one of the famous millionaires of the world, you see. The great-grandson of Henry Ford, but he's just a humble devotee. He's completely blissful. He's using that money to build Mayapur. He is the main person funding our Mayapur, building the temple in Mayapur. Prabhupada ordered him to use his wealth to build Mayapur, and he's doing that, and he's so happy. You see? So it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're in the middle, whatever your position is, you'll be the richest person in the whole world because you will possess Krishna. You understand? Whoever possesses Krishna, he's the most wealthy, the most famous, the most powerful person, because Krishna is the most wealthy, famous, and powerful. Anyone who possesses him becomes the most wealthy, the most famous, and the most powerful person. So that could be you. Yeah. All you have to do is say, my dear Lord Krishna, from this moment forward, I simply belong to you. I'm your property, Lord. Take me and do whatever you want to with me. I belong to you from now on. You can do whatever you want to with me. I'm yours, that's it. Simply pray that with all sincerity and meaning and constantly remind yourself that this is who I am. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. This is my fruit. I'm Krishna's dog, you see. This is my dog collar. Dogs, they go roof, roof. This dog goes Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So, any other question? Yes.
Hey, Shaman. Sometimes we get the opportunity to preach to people because they see us as someone is of Hare Krishna. They see us as Hare Krishna and they ask us question. So how can we show that Hare Krishna is not sectarian?
So he says sometimes people we preach to them because they see us as Hare Krishnas.
Easy to learn.
So people identify us as the Hare Krishnas.
Right.
So people want us to preach to them.
Really?
So
how to tell them that we are not sectarian?
So how to tell them that we are not sectarian?
Yes. How to present Krishna consciousness as not being sectarian? First of all, Krishna consciousness and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijusarva Shatishta Tarapika Nima Tasmane Nakala. He said there are hundreds and millions of names for God. We don't say they have to chant Krishna. If they want to chant Allah, they want to chant Christ, they want to chant Jehovah, that's okay. We are not teaching a religion, we are teaching the science of devotion. It equally applies to a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Jain, a Sikh, a Muslim, a Christian. It equally applies to everyone. In fact, in America, there's a Baptist minister, it's a Christian denomination, who's a devotee. He doesn't tell the members of his church. He's the leader of the church, but he's secretly a devotee. You see? He took initiation he's an initiated ISKCON devotee, but it's all secret. He used to send me copies of his sermons that he would give on Sunday to all the Christian people of the church. And he was simply presenting Prabhupada's teachings, but in a language that would be appealing to the Christians. Instead of saying Krishna, he would say God, you see. Mm. So this philosophy is a science which is... In other words, if a Muslim studies Prabhupada's books, he can become a perfect Muslim.
Yeah.
A Christian studies Prabhupada's books, he can become a perfect Christian. A Jew, a Buddhist, a Jain, a Sikh, whatever they may be, if they will read Prabhupada's books, you can play that later and put your hand up.
Yeah.
Later on you can do, but now I want you to play, let this knowledge play in your brain. If you will take this knowledge into your brain, you will find the supreme playfulness, the supreme happiness. You understand what I'm saying? If you focus on what I'm saying, this knowledge will dance in your heart. You'll be in bliss just by absorbing this knowledge into you. You don't need any external things like, you know, tapping your buddy on the arm during the class. If you'll focus very clearly on exactly what I'm telling you, you'll be in bliss. In so much bliss, you go, wow, this is amazing information. You understand? Does that answer your question? You have to present it as a science of devotion, not as... Because we don't say they have to chant Krishna's name. They can chant any name for God from the scriptures. But one has to come to the point of complete surrender unto the will of God and become saintly in character. You see, that's the point. Become a true saintly person. Okay. Any other questions?
Maharaj, there are...
Well, I didn't recognize you. I'm recognizing you.
Yeah, Maharaj, you were telling about senior citizen. Telling about senior citizen.
About what?
He said what you were saying about senior citizens.
You are senior citizens.
Yeah, okay.
Here in our center, we have weekly program for senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Once per week. And we have, for the last 4 months, we have satsang here.
And a special program for senior citizens.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have remarked that they are really very happy.
Do they sing and dance and ecstasy?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Most of them are here.
How many senior citizens do we have here over the age of 60?
Of
senior citizens. Die. My generation.
Yeah, your generation. And really we have remarks that when they go from, we have to push them from here because they don't want to go from here.
Very good.
Recently they were ready to stay here itself, full time.
It's amazing, you know, we were all the 20-year-old kids, you know, we were rebelling against the adults. And we were the ones who helped Prabhupada start this movement, you know. We were the 20-year-olds who were rebelling against the adults, actually. We were the original Hare Krishna people, the ones who were rebelling against the adults and taking the Krishna consciousness in defiance of our parents. And now we're the senior citizens. Amazing. Now there's a new set of youths there. So anyway, any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Maharaj, as you were saying that we can tell the people to take any name, but the question is, will it have the same effect on our consciousness? Say, for example, some take the name of Vishnu or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya or the name of Lord Shiva. That is, will it have the same effect on our consciousness? Suppose all the name of Vishnu, like somebody may take the name of Narasimha or others, the name of Buddha.
No, the most powers are in Krishna's name. It doesn't have the same power. The Kali Sanjarani Upanishad clearly states the most potent mantra for awakening one's divine consciousness is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But if they're very attached to chant something else, that's okay. They just won't, the advancement won't be as rapid, or they won't advance as far as one would by chanting Hare Krishna. But if they want to chant that, that's okay. Let them chant. The power is there. We've seen one person, he was chanting the name of Jehovah. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. And even after he became a devotee. So here's good. This is nice. Written questions are very good. Now, regarding the question of presenting Krishna consciousness as non-sectarian, the problem is, most of the Hindus who take Lord Krishna as equal Bhagavan demigod, they think we are based on as bodhis as Krishna, to present them as being personality bodies. The thing is, if we say that all the gods are the same, that means there's no supreme god. This is a simple matter of philosophy. If all the gods are the same, there is no supreme good. But that's atheism. To say all the gods are the same is actually another way of being an atheist. It's atheism. To say there's no supreme god. So we have to teach them philosophically to understand this principle. Unless there's a supreme God amongst the many gods, there's one God who's supreme, then this Hinduism is simply a form of atheism. We have to teach like that. We have to teach, do you understand this point? There's no supreme God. That means it's atheism. Just like in this country, there's a Supreme Court, isn't there? Supreme Court? Right? Where's the head? Where are they located? What city is the Supreme Court in? I'm asking him. What city is the Supreme Court located in? Where? What town?
Fort Lewis.
Fort Lewis. Okay, so you don't know your own country. The Supreme Court is in Fort Lewis. Now, if you say, well, in this country all the courts are the same, there's no Supreme Court, they'll say, you're crazy. You don't know how this country runs. There's one Supreme Court in Fort Lewis, you see. Every country has a Supreme Court. It has many courts, but out of those many courts, there's one court that is Supreme Court. If there's no Supreme Court, there can't be a system of justice. There has to be a Supreme Court in every country. Otherwise there can be no justice. The whole country will fall apart. So similarly, there has to be a Supreme Godhead. Otherwise the universe can't run properly. It'll be everybody competing, you know, for supremacy. Indra will be fighting it out with Chandra, is fighting it out with, you know, with Durga or whatever. There has to be one Supreme God overall. So who that is, well, that we can discuss later on. But first, in other words, when you present philosophy, don't try to give them the whole meal in one bite. You understand? You give them first a little Corella, and then you give them a little of this, a little of that. So Prabhupada wouldn't say, well, you know, let's first of all establish the position there has to be a supreme God. Now who that is, that we will discuss later, whether it's Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Krishna, Shiva, or whoever, that we can discuss later on. You see. So first, let us understand there has to be a supreme God amongst all the gods. There has to be a supreme God. Then once that is clearly understood, beyond any shadow of a doubt, then we can analyze further in step number two and see which one of them is the supreme. But don't, when you preach philosophy, don't try to give them everything in one bite. Take them step by step. First of all, understand there has to be a supreme God. You see, that's the first point. And then after that is clearly understood, then you say, now let us analyze on the basis of Shastra to see who is the supreme. If Shastra says that Shiva is the supreme, then we'll take Krishna off the altar and put Shiva there. You see, we're not biased. We're not sectarian. You know, if by the Shastra we see that, you know, Sai Baba is the supreme, we'll put Sai Baba on there. I mean, we're not that. We are lovers of truth. This Krishna consciousness movement, we are lovers of truth. You see. Now, the great authority who has clearly delineated the test by which you're going to determine who is the supreme, his name you've all heard before, Parashara Muni. He's famous from the Mahabharata. Parashara Muni has given the test by which you can determine who is that supreme God. Now, the first thing there's six opulences. In each one of these opulences, he exceeds all others. The first one is power. Second one is beauty. The third one is renunciation. The fourth one is knowledge. The fifth one is wealth, and the sixth one is fame. Knowledge, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. Whichever personality possesses more power, more beauty, more renunciation, more knowledge, more wealth, and more fame than anyone else is understood to be the supreme God, according to Parashara Muni. So now all we have to do is check all the personalities. Who's more powerful? I'll say, I think Indra's more powerful. Yes. But who was defeated by Krishna by lifting over on you? Krishna showed he's more powerful. We say, I think Brahma's more powerful. Yes. Or I think Shiva, the look of the pastime of Shiva Dwara and Narayan Dwara. You see, the Shiva Dwara was defeated by the Narayan Dwara. This is not just an expansion of Krishna, not even Krishna himself. Or look at the time when Krishna took the form of Mahini Murti. And Shiva was running like a madman, passing semen across, running wild, passing semen, and even running after Mahini Murti. You see? So just by studying all the different personalities, by studying the Vedas, we can clearly see there's no one more powerful than Krishna. Now who can attract all those gopi girls? You think Shiva could attract them? Like Krishna did? No. How about Indra? No. How about Chandra? No. You see. How about even Lord Narayan? You know what the gopis, when they were looking for Krishna, they saw Narayan? They said, Namo Narayan, where is Krishna? You know where Krishna is? They offered their respect to Narayan, but they weren't satisfied that they had found their Krishna, you see. So who is more attractive than Krishna? Who can attract even the cows with the sound of the flute playing? Can Shiva attract the cow with the sound of the din-din drum? You study every single characteristic, power, beauty, renunciation. You say, well, Krishna is not that renowned, and he has those girlfriends. How could Krishna be the most renowned? But you know what? Who is repeated for his renunciation in the Vedic scriptures? Grandfather Bhishma, right? Dhritavrata. He vowed never to marry so his father could enjoy that. And we really wanted to see. But you know what Grandfather Bhishma said in the Rajasuya Yajna? He said, there is no one. He said, if I had been in that situation with those forests with all those girls, I would have fallen down. But Krishna remained a strict brahmachari. He was all alone with those girls in the forest. He didn't fall down. Therefore, he is a greater brahmachari than me. So in every single way, power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame, Krishna has proven himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't blindly. Now, if somebody can bring evidence to show that we're wrong, we'll accept. You can bring us evidence to show that your goddess, your god, is more powerful, more beautiful, more renowned, more wealthy, more famous, and more knowledgeable than Krishna, then we'll give up chanting Hare Krishna and chant Shiva Shiga or Durga Durga or Kali 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 Mata Kali Mata. You can show us with Vedic evidence, and we'll accept it. And you should be equally open as we are open to you, sir. This is an example, not speaking to you personally, but this is an example to you, sir. If you can, I am open. If you can show me someone is more powerful, beautiful, renowned, knowledgeable, wealthy, or famous than Krishna, then I'll switch. And you should also be open. Just as I am open, my dear sir, you should also be open. So in this way, if we preach, you see, then everybody will become convinced to become Krishna conscious. But you have to be willing to take the time with the person. Don't just try to immediately shove Krishna down their throat. First of all, show you care. Show that person you care about them, you love them, be kind to them. You see, in this way, you can gradually bring them to the point of Krishna consciousness. Who is the avatar of whom? Is Krishna the avatar of Vishnu, or is Vishnu the avatar of Krishna? Krishna, well, finishing this, Vishnu is the category, Vishnu Tattva. Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. Vishnu is a category. All the incarnations of God are in the category of Vishnu. So the original Vishnu is Krishna. Otherwise, how are we called Vaishnavas? How are we Krishnites known as Vaishnavas, or devotees of Vishnu? If Krishna is not Vishnu, then how are we considered to be devotees of Vishnu? You understand? Vaishnava means devotee of Vishnu. So why do we call ourselves Vaishnavas and not simply Krishnites? Because we know that Krishna is the original form of Vishnu. Okay, next question. Alright. What ashram is the best in this Kali Yuga? Actually, Grihastha ashram is recommended in this Kali Yuga. to become trained for a Grihastha, the best thing is to become a Brahmachari first. To become a proper Grihastha, the best thing is to first of all be a Brahmachari. Then you can be trained how to be a good grahastha. Okay. Brahmachari training is recommended for every man in this age, so they can learn how to be a proper grahastha. And out of those brahmacharis, some who are very, very advanced, they can remain as sannyasi. Okay, next question.
What's the difference between expansion and avatar?
Well, in some contexts, they are synonymous. Although expansion also refers to us as well. There's integrated expansion, which are the avatars, and there's a separated expansion, which are the us, the jiva tattva. They're called separated expansions. Because we are also expansions of Krishna. You know this? You're an expansion of Krishna. He's expanding you from himself to have a loving relationship with you. But you are a separated expansion. You are not avatar. You see? The integrated expansion, they are called avatars. We separated expansions, they are called jivas. What is the benefit we derive or something while chanting for God is elsewhere, obtaining? Well, it's better to be chanting than not chanting, but if your mind is somewhere else, you're not getting the full benefit of the Maha Mantra, obviously. Therefore, Krishna says, yato yato nishalati manashtam shalamashtaram tatastatam yam yantan atmanivarishamniya. From whatever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back into its troubled self. What time do we have to head out for the next lecture?
7:30.
Oh, start at 7:30. So, how long is the drive from here?
15 minutes.
45 minutes.
15.
So we have plenty of time. Is there something else we can do in the middle?
20 minutes drive.
Beside them.
Yeah, but when is there time to go all the way back and do that? I'm wondering. Anyway, any other questions? I don't want to take this too long. Some of you may get invested with thinking, well, this can be over by the way. But you're enjoying this class?
Yes.
Are you getting bored with it?
Yes.
You're enjoying it?
Yes.
Okay, do you like it? Okay. We'll go a little further. If you like the class, we'll go a little further. Yes. If children like the class, then we know it's a good class. Because they're the future hope. When we're dead and gone, they'll be running the movement. These kids will be running the movement when we're dead and gone. So we want them to really relish Krishna consciousness. That's when this can be over, so we can go do something else. No, we want them to really relish it. We have to teach the kids to really relish Krishna consciousness. Okay, is there a short and easy way to reach the lotus feet of Krishna? Yes. That it takes shelter of one of our spiritual masters. Throw away in Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. Find a bona fide spiritual master and stow away in his lotus feet, and you'll get to Krishna very easily. Next question.
He's liking his question just now. He's fast.
Okay, should a devotee be cultivating mundane knowledge? What is Varnashram. Okay. Vidyam savidyam yastad vedo vayam saha avidyayam ritam divva vidyayam ritam ashnute. Only that person who can cultivate transcendental knowledge and mundane knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and attain the full blessings of immortality. Sri Vashisha Panasha Mantra 11. So it's not that the devotee is completely, oblivious to this material existence. He knows the art of engaging in Krishna service. Actually, the devotee is more expert at using, because for him there's nothing mundane. He sees everything as Krishna's property. It's like I've taken the internet and I have an e-course. I have 12,000 people on my e-course. I have knowledge of how to use the internet. You see, I see it as Krishna's energy. So you may say it's mundane knowledge, but when you use anything through Krishna's service, it's not mundane anymore. It's transcendental, whether it can be. So you should simply see, how can I best serve Krishna? And that means you can use the material energy in Krishna's service. Now, maybe you're going to school now, maybe that's why you're asking. Are you going to the university? Okay. So, yes, Prabhupada, sometimes devotees would join. They'd be in the middle of their university studies, they'd be living in the ashram, even Prabhupada wanted to finish. They haven't finished their degree. While they're living in the ashram, they'd be going to school. So, Prabhupada, that knowledge, that expertise of having how to deal with the material nature. You see, a college student, he gains some expertise in how to deal with the material energy in a more successful way than other people can. So that's very good. You should stay in the college, make very good grades, and use that knowledge for Krishna. We want you to continue your studies and do a first-class job in your studies and in your Krishna consciousness. Varnashram means, according to the persons are engaged according to their natural activities, not according to some artificial divisions of the society, but according to the natural tendency one is engaged in serving Krishna. That is Varnashram. Can a devotee participate in demigod worshipping? Generally, we have no need to worship demigods, because by worshipping Krishna, all the demigods are automatically worshipped. Although, sometimes we may offer respect to a demigod. I gave a lecture the other night in a was a Kali temple. Yeah, I gave a lecture the other night in the Kali temple. So I came. They had set up an ISKCON altar there. Thank God. I offered my obeisances to all the acharyas, and then after that was over, I went like this to Kali Mata. So I offered my obeisances to her also, and I didn't give her full dandavata. I just gave her a little namaskar. Yes. Because I knew that by worshipping our ISKCON acharyas and Lord Krishna, that Kali Mata was automatically pleased with me anyway. But still, out of respect, because it was her temple, I nodded my head slightly and offered my respects to Goddess Kali. Because she's a great devotee, actually. She's a great devotee. Now, some people think, yes, I eat meat and I offer to Goddess Kali, so I'm taking Kali prasad. But you know what? She doesn't eat that. When you're allowed, according to the Vedas, you can offer goat meat to Goddess Kali, but you have to personally kill the goat yourself in the dark moon night and whisper a mantra in the goat's ear that I'm killing you, and in your next life you will kill me and eat me. That's what you have to do. So people, they think, yeah, I went to the butcher shop and they have a deity of Kali there, so I'm eating Kali prasad. But the thing is, Kali doesn't eat that food that's offered her. She gives it to her ghostly hobgoblin companions. She's a vegetarian. So don't think you're getting, even if you're following the Vedic ritual and offering a goat on a dark moon night to Goddess Kali, you're not getting Kali prasad, you're getting ghostly hobgoblin prasad. Okay, next time. Anything else?
Yes.
You know what happens if you eat ghostly hobgoblin prasad? You become a ghostly hobgoblin. Okay. Hare Krishna. If one has initiated another Vaishnava Sampradaya and has a guru, how can he progressively join the ISKCON? Now, if your guru is a bona fide Vaishnava, following Vaishnava principles, there is no harm. You can be an active member in our society and make very nice spiritual progress by following these instructions of Srila Prabhupada. We don't say that you have to be reinitiated. If your spiritual master is bona fide according to the Vaishnava principles given in Prabhupada's books, if he meets the qualifications, then we don't say you have to get reinitiated. Because if the spiritual master is actually bona fide, he's strictly following Vaishnava principles. There's no harm, and one can make progress by chanting Hare Krishna. Even if your ultimate desire is to go to the Vaikuntha realm and serve a form of Lord Vishnu there, chanting Hare Krishna is the fastest and easiest way to do that. So, any other question? Everyone satisfied? Very good. So we'll stop here. And we'll look forward to seeing you again on our next visit in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.